Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello, listeners. It's Trish Hammond here again from the Transforming Bodies podcast. And today I'm joined with one of my favourite people in the world, and it's actually Jeannie Devereaux. Now, Jeannie is a specialist on PRP, like rich plasma. And today we're going to get a little bit more of an insight because we do have a regular podcast, but Jeannie studies all the time. So there's always something new to be learned. So I've got quite a few questions for her today. So I'm really excited. So welcome, Jeannie.
Hi, Trish. Always lovely to catch up with you. You're such a
bubble. Look, I love chatting with you because I learn so much more about PRP every time I chat with you. And because it's an evolving thing as well, really, it's great to, you know, keep up to date.
So yes, it is evolving.
Mm. I know. So the first thing I'm going to ask you, so for the people that don't know, like, so what is PRP?
Well, it means platelet-rich plasma. And what actually happens is your blood will be taken and immediately it is centrifuged and then it is injected back into your body wherever you need the regeneration. Mm-hmm. So that could be your skin, your hair, your ligaments, your joints. It regenerates all connective tissue. So regardless of what's broken or what's breaking down or what needs regenerating, the right dose of platelets in the PRP will regenerate that tissue. And it's at the bedside, so at that same appointment, your blood is taken, it's spun in front of you most of the time and delivered back into you within about half an hour. So the red blood cells are taken out and what's left is the platelets, the white blood cells and the plasma and the vitamins, electrolytes, et cetera, that are in the plasma.
Okay. And I know that there's so many different types of PRP, you know, and in fact, it's coming a bit confusing. Like there's things like tubes and concentrators and all that. So what does all mean? Like, can you kind of define exactly what PRP is and what the differences are? Because if you're going to get it done, you want to make sure, not that it's not genuine, but you want to make sure you're getting the ultimate, you know, bang for your buck, I suppose, and result for your skin as well.
Absolutely. Well, there's two different types of PRP, and unfortunately, so it can never be a drug, so it can't be standardized. So you have PRP that people are making from a tube, a standard blood separating tube. Then you also have your high concentrators. So the high concentrators take a higher volume of blood from you and they will deliver in the vicinity of 10 billion platelets in just one treatment. Compared to the tubes, the generic tubes that are out there that will deliver less than a tenth of that dose from the high concentrator, and that's even on a good day.
Wow.
So the tubes are truly delivering plasma with some platelets in it. The high concentrators are delivering a true platelet-rich plasma. And that's why you see a significant difference in the results. Mm-hmm. So you will see in a clinic that's using highly concentrated doses of PRP, seeing restored lost volume, restored elasticity, skin changing before their very eyes. I receive notifications from clinic going, holy, I've never, ever seen a result like this. And these clinics making these statements are using a minimum of 10 billion platelets per dose in one session. And it's a very different business to your generic tube, vampire, facial, plasma story that's out there in the majority of clinics, unfortunately. And it's only because they don't know. As soon as a good clinic finds out that there's something better, they want it.
Yes, because it's the classic.
They do. they do want it. So that's the difference. And unfortunately, marketing puffery is allowed. So you're allowed to say you're the best coffee in Byron Bay. You're allowed to say you sell the best surf wax in the world. You're allowed to say the greatest house painter ever. And in PRP, they can say that too because it's not a drug. That's why they're allowed to get away with this marketing puffery. But the general public now have APRA on their side, where informed consent must be given to the patient. So that's a game changer.
Yes. Yes.
So,
and it's funny because this sort of information, when patients are doing their research, providing we've got it to the forefront, they'll come across this information so they can ask the right questions. But I know what it's like to just go into a clinic and you think, oh my God, PRP, I just want PRP. And you know, you may get it done from, you know, like a bit more puffery, like you say it, rather than actually, yeah. I guess that will lead into the next question. So I'm guessing, like with the different types, like you're talking about therapeutic PRP. So what does that actually mean?
Well, once
I know you've covered a little bit of it, but you know, because I've had a friend who's had PRP for their knee.
Yes.
So yes. How does it all differentiate?
Okay, so therapeutic PRP. How did that terminology even come about? Quite a few decades ago, two scientists, Hainsworth and Marks, watched the significance of stem cell regeneration. Okay, they were doing an experiment and they wanted to see where the regeneration or the mitosis of these stem cells was significant. Okay, so they used tube plasma tubes, normal tubes, and they saw a little bit of a jump in the stem cells. Not much, but there was a little bit there. And then they used higher concentration, and they used a concentration of 1 million platelets per microliter. And then they saw this significant awakening of the stem cells, highly significant. And they said, ha ha, that's the dose. There's our dose. If we want to make a change in any tissue and have it significant, that's where we need to start. So most scientists know that information. The general public would find it very difficult to hunt that information down. But the authors are Hainsworth and Marks, M-A-R-X. And that dose has been proven time and time and time and time again. However, the general public don't know how to, you know, search for papers, differentiate amongst the papers, what's a high impact paper and what's a low impact paper, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but they can ask. You can walk into that clinic. Unfortunately, you shouldn't have to ask. If you have to ask, you need to walk away because you haven't been given informed consent. You ask for the brand. What brand PRP are you going to use on me before I decide to have the treatment? What will be the dose of platelets that you're injecting in that one session? Now, the clinic should know that, and the clinic should have the data to prove that. Okay, because it's all published data.
Yes.
So there's two active high concentrators in Australia at the moment, M-Site and Angel. They can prove their data. It's published, okay? Published data. The tube systems can prove their data as well. It's published. But there's a very significant difference of the dose between the two families, the two different types.
Yes.
It's huge. But the general public are not going to know if they're told, oh, we inject 1 billion platelets in your session. They think, wow, 1 billion, that's a really big number, because it is. But it's not in the platelet-rich plasma world. It's nowhere near enough.
So you need to be looking at numbers like 10 billion.
10 billion.
10 billion.
10 billion platelets. So now that's very easy to obtain when your system is extracting a million or more platelets per microliter. Yeah. 10 billion mm-hmm. platelets is quite easy. And in some cases, we're injecting 20 billion in one session.
Wow.
You cannot get that from a tube. It yeah. is impossible. It's like you can't even come close to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so one doctor in Brisbane who is a musculoskeletal doctor injects 20 billion platelets per session, and his clients have really difficult rotator cuffs, very difficult musculoskeletal disorders,
mm-hmm.
and just one by one, they're not requiring surgery. And in America, when we speak to the orthopedic surgeons and other types of surgeons, their surgery has reduced significantly using the dose of 10 billion plus. Now, skin is the same. I had a doctor from Melbourne ringing me this morning saying, I have never seen anything like it in my life. She basically is now saying that 10 billion dose replaces fillers for loss volume for her.
Wow. Right?
Replaces it. And she's mm-hmm. seeing faster than anything. But not only loss volume, she's seeing the elastin. She's seeing the whole face change back to that beautiful turgor that we had in our 30s and 40s, and this richness and hydration in the skin. The patient sees this incredible hydration at first in the skin. They're like, all of a sudden, it's just this glowy, dewy skin that you had as a child is just bursting out. And then slowly, 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 the connective tissue starts to regenerate. And after three treatments, you've got a completely, not a different face, but you've got the face that you once had.
Yeah.
Yep. It doesn't give you anything that you've never had. So if you want a straight nose and you've got a bend in your nose, it can't straighten your nose. It can't
yep.
shape. And that's where you need fillers. So you have to, there needs to be an expectation that's real.
Yep.
And this is the difference. So people won't see that if they're using a tube plasma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have to go into that 10 billion dose.
And I'm guessing this is where we cover what results people can expect from the different types of PRP, like?
Well, I mean, I don't really see too much. I'm not saying I don't see a result at all from the tubes. However, I'm now on the other side of using the 10 billion platelets, and I just can't go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just cannot go back. It's a bit like once you've used a cosmeceutical, you can't go back to oil of Olay. Do you know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
Once you've used very good skincare or very good shampoo or very good anything, it's very difficult to go back to something that's mediocre or less than mediocre. So I, you know, the vampire facial, to be honest with you, that is just skin needling. Skin needling is giving the result.
Yeah, right. So the vampire facial is totally different to therapeutic PRP?
It's entertainment.
Okay. It's like it's puffery.
It's entertainment. It's actually okay. Skin needling that is giving the result. And if you're going to do PRP properly, you want to inject it into the skin, yep. not try to put it over the surface of the skin.
Yep.
Because it doesn't penetrate through the skin that way.
Mm. Yeah. And what about PRF? Like, is that kind of, well, first of all, what is PRF that mm-hmm. people don't know? And is it the same as therapeutic PRP?
Well, PRF means platelet-rich fibrin, and mm-hmm. it is also just a tube, and this is marketing puffery again. So just all plasma contains fibrinogen.
Mm-hmm.
And when we cut ourselves, that fibrinogen will turn into fibrin. This is a natural process that's occurring in your skin every time you scratch it, wound yourself, whatever it is, it's a natural process that it converts, the fibrinogen converts into fibrin. So this PRF is marketing puffery, and it is the same as a tube without anticoagulant. So the plasma congeals. Now, I hear and read that they claim that it has a higher growth factor number. Now, first and foremost, this is impossible because the number of growth factors is determined by the number of platelets. So if you have low platelets, you have low number of growth factors. If you have high platelets, you have a high number of growth factors. Now, in their marketing puffery, they say four times higher growth factors. But compared to what? What do you mean four times higher? Four times higher. So if you're writing a scientific paper, if you write, you know, the milk contained four times higher cream, compared to what? They're not finishing the sentence.
Yeah.
Compared to what? They don't even know what their growth factor number was to start with, because growth factors are contained within a granule, within the platelet. So they don't know how many they don't even know how many platelets they had, let alone to comment on the growth factor number without giving a number and without comparing it to something. What was your control to say that statement?
It's just
marketing puffery.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it just sounds like just good marketing. And
well, it's bad marketing because it's actually dishonest.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
So all platelet-rich plasma converts to fibrin in the skin. So you'll see a slight swelling and you'll feel a gel in the skin a few minutes after injection. So you are always receiving platelet-rich fibrin, if that's what you want to call it, regardless. Now, I don't like the idea of the growth factors being released from the platelets outside of the body, because the growth factor has a short life. It needs to go to a receptor very quickly. It doesn't have something to go to, it's going to die off. Okay, it's going to lose its oomph. Yep. So I always say the best platelets in vivo inside the skin are released as soon as they touch collagen. I'm just trying to keep the language simple here.
Yeah, please.
As soon as the platelet touches collagen, it releases its platelets automatically.
Right.
It doesn't need to be released outside of the body at all. And if it's released inside the skin, the platelets will continue to release and release for up to 2 weeks. Once you've released them outside of the skin, that's it. It's over.
Yep.
Finished.
Yep.
Done.
And so how does, like, as a client, how can me as a client determine the differences between the PRPs?
Well, first,
like, I know we've covered a little bit of that, but how can
the client must ask for the brand.
Yeah. Okay.
What brand are you using? Okay. Mm-hmm. That is informed consent. But now, if the client has to ask for the brand, informed consent is not being given. So I would leave the clinic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's not being within the APRA guidelines and there's something wrong. Why aren't you telling me everything? If I'm getting my lips done, you're going to tell me I'm getting Juvederm or I'm getting Teoxane or whatever it is.
Yep.
If you're medicating me with a heart medication, you're going to tell me I'm prescribing this for you.
Yeah.
And that's the same with PRP. It's not a prescription, but it's still under the APRA guidelines of informed consent. So first and foremost, ask for the brand. Ask for the data. You want the published data on that brand. Okay?
Okay.
That's easy to obtain. For the owner of the clinic, they should have that already.
Yeah.
I can produce that for the two high brands that I mentioned before in the blink of an eye.
Yep.
Okay. It should be produced. Here it is. This is the platelet count that's been published. Okay. And how does your tube system, or how does your highly concentrating system compare to the opposites, so to speak? And an honest answer must be given.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, because I've actually been myself and asked, I'm just wondering how that relates to other regenerative therapies, like, you know, your musculoskeletal, which we've talked about, your sexual health and your hair regeneration, because I've actually asked that question of someone who had it done by a musculoskeletal doctor. Of course, they didn't know what the brand was, but I'm pretty sure they asked and were sort of like not really told. But yeah, how does that kind of relate? Like, because I mean, most practitioners may not know that people are, you know, I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't have the treatment for a start. If the doctor doesn't know what he's using, he or she is using.
Yep.
Well, would they ever prescribe a drug that they don't know what they're using?
Yeah.
Never.
Oh, I'm thinking over the phone with the receptionist, you know.
Oh, like, over the phone with the receptionist.
Yeah, what brand is the treatment, or what brand is the device you're using? Is that how you'd ask it, or what brand?
Oh, yes. What is the brand of the PRP that you're using? What is the brand?
Okay.
And I've done the same thing. I rang a dermatologist and asked over the phone, and it's like, oh, I don't know. We don't, well, you know, it's just a PRP. I mean, they should.
Good one.
I don't know. I don't think it was.
Yeah.
But they need to give an answer. Yeah. I mean, they make in the defense of the people answering the phone, they may not be allowed to say. That could be something that is only to be communicated by the person doing the consultation.
Yes, true, true.
So in their defense, however, I do know the people who have the higher concentrating systems are quite happy to say, oh, well, we use this or we use that. They're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think the other people are hiding anything either. I honestly think that the practice managers or the receptionists may not know.
Yep.
And also it's possibly not their job, but I'd say it's not their job to answer that question. But you definitely can ask, and they can call you back or email you back and say the system that we use is et cetera, whatever it is, and this is the data, and this is why we use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've made a decision to use it for some reason, and the patient is entitled to that answer.
Yeah.
They're paying for it. They need to know. They need to know what is going on, what is happening, what are you going to inject into me, what am I paying for?
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of names for these tubes, and it's very confusing. But if the patient knows, do you use a tube? Well, that's enough to know. All tubes produce the same low dose platelet count. All tubes, because all tubes are the same. They are made by the same company and they're rebadged.
Okay, so basically, if they just said we use tubes,
yes,
you would know that that's the lower.
Yes.
Okay.
All tubes the same.
Okay.
So they might say in their advertising, patented gel technology.
Mm-hmm.
No PRP company in the tube realm has patented gel technology.
Mm-hmm.
They are using the same tubes that you will, when you go to have your blood taken, blood test, they are using the same tube. The gel in there, the pathology company has the patency of that. The PRP companies are going to these tube companies and saying, could you make me 1 million tubes and rebadge them under the name of Super PRP or whatever it is.
Acme PRP.
Exactly. And then you line up all of those tubes and they're all the same, and you ask each company for the ISO number of the gel in there. They'll all be the same and they'll match the ISO number of the gel that you get your generic blood test done every year.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, we are more aware as consumers these days, but just with someone who's having the PRP treatment, you know, you mentioned before about, because I'm just going to talk about the results now. You mentioned before about the fact that, you know, like people are using it, you know, and where they need filler and stuff like that. So is this something that, you know, I want to know basically, is this something that you have to adopt into your aesthetic care regime or your maintenance regime as a regular thing every so often? And if so, like, what would you recommend for someone who just wants to? Because, like, you look amazing. Like, you sent me through a photo yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God, every time I see this woman, she just looks freaking younger and younger.
Oh, I just look the same.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I feel like I'm getting older and you're not.
Well, I would recommend that you have three therapeutic dose PRPs in a row, like about 4 to 6 weeks apart. And then maintain that, have another one 6 months after the third one. I know for myself, when I have let it go, for example, this year I had a PRP in January, but not another one until a couple of weeks ago, and my skin, the health of my skin declined. And I've quickly had that PRP and it's boosted up again. So I won't let that happen again. I did let that happen in COVID because we had no choice. I couldn't go to anybody.
Yeah, of course.
But I did notice the decline. So it's like exercise. You have to stay exercising to keep your figure, to keep your weight, etc.
Yeah.
So I would have three, then another one 6 months later. And what the doctor that I work with, she and I just said, yeah, we really need three a year. That's what we've decided, that if we go under that three in a year, we drop back. But because we're both so busy, we don't always get to have them in the
of course. In the way.
But if you are starting out, three in a row first and then have another one 6 months. But the first step in good skincare is skincare, really, too. So, so someone that putting you on a program will choose a combination of therapies, and it always starts with good skincare. So there's a protocol involved in a regenerating skin and maintaining the regenerating skin.
And on that as well, so we're going to have like three treatments 6 months apart. 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks apart.
Yes.
Then one 6 months later, and then go on a maintenance protocol. On the actual, like, if I go in to have a PRP, can I get it done there and then that day, or does it have to sit for hours, or you come back the next day? Like, because I've heard a multitude of different stories.
No, you'll have it. You'll have the PRP on the day, so it's
so they'll
ready.
Take my blood. They'll take my blood, make me hang around for a bit.
Half an hour.
Hang around for half an hour. Numbing. Do we need numbing in that time, or Valium or gas, or
no
anesthetic?
No, you won't need that at all. They will numb, but only in the where the injection point is. There's very few injections with a therapeutic PRP. Most of the people now, we have our technique right now, and they would probably say a 2 out of 10 for pain.
Oh, that's nice.
But there's a secret to that. There's a secret in our training for that. But it's about a 2 out of 10.
Okay, great. And then you're going to go away, and are you going to be puffy and swollen and not be able to go out for a few days, or?
You'll be fine. No, you're a little bit puffy, but it's a puffy that you like. And that lasts a couple of days and then it's gone, because everybody wants to stay looking how they do straight after a PRP. When somebody has said to me, oh, my patients, the PRP is bruising and the people aren't are finding it very painful. When I have gone to retrain them or train them at all, it's been their technique. It hasn't
Yes.
been the product. So when I have just refined the technique and made it easier for them, they're gone, wow. And then the patient has said, I barely felt that.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, so the way I train and the way my trainers train, we have it down to quite a painless technique, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so half an hour to wait for your numb and cream. And how long does the treatment take, to like the injecting, before you walk out the door?
Well, you would have your blood taken and then they would put the numbing cream on, and just a little bit. It's just a little bit of numbing cream. It's not like the whole face.
Yeah, sure.
And then the blood is spun, and by the time that is finished and made up, the numbing cream has worked and we're ready to go, and it'll take maybe 10 minutes to inject.
Awesome. So you can virtually be in and out in an hour, maybe a little bit more, hour and a half.
Oh, probably even less with an
Okay.
experienced injector.
Great.
You know, they don't like to rush people, and you have just had your blood taken, so they like you to have a glass of water before you leave. And
yeah.
So, yeah, so it's, yeah, it doesn't really take that long at all, especially if the doctor or the if the injector has an assistant. So I assist a lot of the time. And I have that PRP ready for injection very, very quickly. And once they get into their routine, it's probably less time than an hour.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Once you're all set up, ready to go.
Yes. And the patient is not disturbed at all. They're feeling quite fine. I do myself need to take a Panadol that night or the next day, and I do say that to people, and then they say, well, what, no, I was fine, what are you talking about? So whether it's just me, I'm not sure, but they can take the Panadol if they wish. And but it's quite a simple procedure with the high concentrators, and it's not a painful procedure.
Yeah,
not compared to, like, I find like Botox is painful for me. So I find it less painful than Botox.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not too bad with Botox, but I've definitely experienced my fair share of like painful injections in my face for sure. That I'm like, whoa, I was not expecting that.
Well, I had, yes, definitely. I have had two in the past. And, but no, I wouldn't put PRP, not the way that we do PRP, in that category.
Yes, because I think it comes, like you said, it definitely comes down to that. Comes back down to the training of the practitioner, and you know, and what then? I totally agree with that. Because
and we're seeing wonderful results with people that have had filler reversed, dissolved.
Yeah, of course.
And they're quite lumpy, or their skin has dehydrated. It's never a good look, the dissolving of filler.
Yeah.
And that's become a business of its own.
True.
Regenerating the skin after dissolving filler and evening it out and giving it back its glow. And these people have just said, oh, that's it. My filler days are over. And, well, they're just only in that time they've lost their confidence, but they get their confidence back.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So, look, one last question I was going to ask you. So, would you put it in your lips?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, no, not that sort of, okay.
Absolutely. So basically it's where you would put it is into the vermilion border, and then it travels into the lip body itself.
Ah, that's how I actually, when I first heard about lip fillers, someone told me that's how everyone did it. And of course it's not like that now. So that's just putting it in the side of your lip. So it's in that little rim. So it kind of goes all around the perimeter. It kind of makes its own way through the perimeter. What's it called again?
The lip body.
Yeah.
The vermilion border.
Yeah, that's it. Vermilion. board. It
Yeah,
sounds like a country to visit or something.
so the reason it's put in the border of the lips is a highly dose there, a high dose PRP will
Yeah.
travel,
Yes.
and the lips will blow up, not unduly, but they
Yeah.
will swell very, very quickly. So the high dose PRP will give you back the lips you once had. Now, it cannot give you a greater lip that you've never had. You need filler for that. Okay, if people want to flip their lip or whatever it is, okay, that is the place for fillers. If you want to give yourself back the lips that you once had, because our lips thin as we get older and et cetera, and you don't want the lip look, you don't, you're not after that big blown up lip. Just want the lips you once had, PRP, absolutely, you can use.
Amazing, amazing.
It's
Yeah, because
lovely.
I don't like lip fillers, but I can see my lips getting smaller and smaller, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna have no lips left soon. So this sounds like it could be perfect.
Yes, but people don't just come in for the lip or the eye. We
No.
always
You're
do the whole face. We always
gonna
do
do
the
the whole
whole
thing.
area. And for some people come in, I just want the eyes done. I'm thinking, but if your
No.
eyes are aging, it's because your whole face is aging. Like, well, it's not even just the whole face is aging, the whole body is aging. So we always do a full treatment. And so it'll be a full face or a face and a neck and a décolletage. We do forearms, hands, upper arms, décolletages, everything. Everything. There's not an area of the body.
That you can't do.
No, there's not an area.
Oh, amazing. Look, Jenny, this has been so interesting. I do love having chats with you. It's been so good.
Yes.
And so the magic number, 10 billion.
Yes, you want to ask for the therapeutic dose,
Yes.
PRP, and you want the proof of that. That's part of the informed consent.
Yes, exactly.
And a good operator, a good clinician will give that to you. Will give it to you.
Awesome.
And if it's below 10 billion, walk basically, or below. Even below the concentration of 1 million per microliter, you would want, just it's not enough. And they might be charging less money, but it's less money thrown away. It's still wasted money. So that could be anything. That could be like $300, $400, $500 compared to paying or $900 or $1,000 for a therapeutic PRP, but the difference in the results cannot be compared.
Outstanding. It makes so much, it
I
just
wouldn't
makes so
wait.
much sense.
I wouldn't waste the money on the plasma or the PRF. A little bit of a result, but not compared to therapeutic dose PRP.
Oh, look, thank you so much. My thing keeps pinging at me saying, get out the way.
That's
Oh,
okay.
dear.
All
Well,
right.
thanks so much for joining me today, Jenny.
Okay, take care and we'll chat again
Oh,
very soon.
pleasure. And listeners, look, if you do want to, like, Jenny definitely knows what she's talking about. She's a PhD candidate in medical biology and physiology. She's got a Bachelor of Health Science, especially in dermal clinician, and she's also got a Bachelor of Science in biomedical science with honours. So, she knows what she's talking about. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Okay, thank
Jenny.
you. All right,
Lovely.
bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.